Well, good morning, everyone. As Dr. D said, my name is Tyra Gross. I'm a third-year doctoral student in the Department of Health Promotion and Behavior at the University of Georgia College of Public Health. And I'm very excited this morning, one, because this is my first oral presentation at APHA, so that if you've done one, you know that's kind of butterflies going on this morning. But I'm also excited just because of the nature of this talk. As she mentioned in my bio, I am pursuing a qualitative research certificate as part of my studies at the University of Georgia. And so what I'll be presenting to you today, Nothing Can Break the Bond, Document Analysis of the Brown Mamas Breastfeed Blog Project, was actually part of my coursework, assignments in qualitative research. So without further ado, I'll just get started. So as a presenter here at the APHA conference, I have no relationships to disclose. So just some general background. We all know, if you're in this session, if you're in public health, you should know that breast milk is the adequate form of nutrition for infants. The American Academy of Pediatrics encourages mothers to breastfeed exclusively for the first 6 months of life, just like the World Health Organization. And the AAP encourages mothers to breastfeed for the first year of life, whereas the World Health Organization encourages for up to 2 years or beyond, just depending on what the mother decides. However, we have some racial and ethnic disparities, along with other disparities in breastfeeding here in the United States. So African Americans, and throughout this presentation I will use the term black, have the lowest breastfeeding rate. So right now, Healthy People 2020, the goal is for 81.9% of all mothers to breastfeed in the early postpartum period. Well, right now, based on the National Immunization Survey, I believe it's about 58% of African-American women are breastfeeding in the early postpartum period, and those rates significantly decline as you get to 6 months and 1 year and what have you. And a lot of the literature is cross-sectional, using data sets such as the PRAMS survey and other cross-sectional instruments that just kind of look at breastfeeding initiation and duration rates and kind of those socio-demographic factors that are associated with whether mothers initiate or do not initiate breastfeeding. But there's a lot of gaps in the literature regarding what is exactly contributing to this disparity. So we still have some more research to do. And few studies have actually highlighted mothers that have actually breastfed. If you know anything about the literature, it kind of focuses on the problem rather than the solution or what can we really focus on. And so that's kind of what I'll be getting at this morning. And so we know also that there's been an increase in the use of social media, especially also for health communications. Child 2009 highlights that blogs open up this world for new opportunities for health communication, for delivering messages, and also just spreading out more health information through different age groups and other demographics. And this graph is actually from the HINT survey from the National Cancer Institute, and it noted from respondents that about 23% said they participated in social networking sites, and about 7% said they actually were bloggers, and most of these were females. And so given the nature of breastfeeding, that's good to know, right? Sweet and Simons notes that the good thing about using blogs as part of health communication is the top-down as well as the bottom-up approach of exchanging information. So it's not just people at the top. There are industry blogs, but if you know anything about breastfeeding blogs, there are a lot of mothers just, you know, sharing their own personal experiences. So there's a lot of personal blogs out there. West et al. 2011 was the only article that I could find at the time of doing this research that actually looked at breastfeeding in blogs. And so in his article, he did note that, you know, blogs are being used to promote breastfeeding from the industry side as well as from mothers themselves. And so the purpose of this study, as I mentioned in the background, there's not a lot of research that talks about the experiences of breastfeeding, and that's a strength of qualitative research. So I really wanted to understand Black women's experiences of breastfeeding, and I have here using online documents, and that was just encouraged by my professor because she was saying, and her name is Dr. Demaray, she's part of the qualitative research department at the University of Georgia. She was just saying, you know, blogs are out there, they're free, they're, you know, time effective, you can easily access the information if it's, you know, public blogs. And there's two specific research questions that I have here. What led Black women to the decision to breastfeed their children? You know, just what brought them to even try it? And how do they describe their experience just in general? Was it positive? Was it negative? Was it a little bit of both? So we'll see what we find. And so for data collection methods, what I did was I used Google Blog Search Engine, and I have some screenshots just to kind of show you what that looked like. Back in March 2012, using the keywords black and breastfeed, just two general keywords, but I did limit it to personal blogs, so not industry blogs, because I wanted to hear from mothers themselves, with public access. So these weren't blogs where you had to, you know, be a logged-in member or have some kind of account. Featuring breastfeeding stories from multiple African-American women, because there are some that are just from the perspective of one mom, but I wanted to kind of get a variety of experiences, which were posted since 2010. So I was looking for active blogs, really. So I looked at the first 50 results, and a lot of the results were from blogs that were industry related. Some were repeated results. So three blogs were actually selected, and two were selected for this analysis. One blog was actually, it was a little bit older, and the two blogs that were selected were part of something called the Bra Mama's Breastfeed Project, which was part of the title. So here is a screenshot from Google Blog Search, and let's see, can I? So you can see here you have the option of using searching posts, which will give you a lot more information than just searching home pages, which is what I did. So the Bra Mama's Breastfeed Project was a joint blog project across two selected blogs, and I actually, from doing this experience, these mothers actually invited me to be a guest blogger, which was really exciting for Black History Month, and saying, you know, how we need to get more African-American mothers to breastfeed, so that was really a cool experience. And this is actually a typo. They did a call for breastfeeding stories in May 2011, so around Mother's Day, they thought it would be really cool for, you know, Black mothers to share their stories of breastfeeding to encourage one another to do that. And so the questions that they asked the mother is, why did you choose to breastfeed? How long did you breastfeed? So looking at duration, and what do you love about breastfeeding? So really questions more from a positive slant, but mothers did, as we'll see, talk about some of the downsides of breastfeeding. So 23 breastfeeding stories were extracted, and in their stories, a lot of moms showed pictures. So at the conclusion, I'll show you some of those pictures. So what I did is I constructed just a general table in Microsoft Word to kind of help me organize which mother said what regarding which question, and also the photo. One limitation, though, is that mothers didn't really say, you know, their educational status, marital status, so a lot of the demographic things that we in public health like to know. So unfortunately, I do not have that information for you, but some of them did say, you know, my partner, my husband, my mother, who was kind of in their social network, so that was important. I used a constant comparative approach to code the data, and that's just originated from Glosser and Straws, and it's just really just going back and forth between the data, comparing and contrasting the themes and codes that you previously had to see if that matches what you're currently looking at, and just to help you in developing your codes. So I did code mapping, and I'll show you a picture of that, and member checking. And member checking, if you're not familiar with qualitative research, is after you kind of get your codes and you build your themes and you have your findings, you go back to your participants and say, did I get this right? Is this what you were alluding to, you know, through your stories? And the good thing is that they were like, oh, we love it. This is beautiful. We're so happy. We're teary-eyed. So that was really encouraging for me. So this is kind of blurry, but this was just kind of the way I organized the data in Word, just a general table with names and three questions that they asked the mothers when they posted stories on the blog. And this is an example of my code mapping. So you can see the two research questions and kind of how I started off with initial codes and built my way into themes. So findings. So regarding decision making, some of the findings are attitudes, knowledge, and beliefs. So theory, plan, behavior there. Health and development of their children was very important. Cost and convenience of breastfeeding, and social support, having that network to keep them breastfeeding. And they described their experience of breastfeeding as an ongoing process. They talked a lot about the bonding and nurturance of breastfeeding their child and how important that was to them, and also the rewards and both the challenges of being a breastfeeding mom. So the main themes were child health and development, which I'll show you some quotes that they showed on the blog, a fulfilling experience that breastfeeding was indeed rewarding for these mothers, and also the importance of social support. So nurture my patience and potential as a mom. So child health and development. The majority of the moms did know that breastfeeding is termed, you know, the best infant feeding choice for their children, and that's what they alluded to as being one of the main reasons for why they decided to breastfeed. And one mother noted that she wanted to secure a healthy future for her children. So just two quotes. I love that I was giving her an advantage in terms of her mental and physical development. Another mother, I wanted to nourish my child with the best possible nutrients. So you can see here again, the word best was a recurring word. Fulfilling experience. It nurtured my patience and potential as a mom. All women did note an overall positive experience. And again, that's probably, you know, just a bias of why they would even share their story publicly on a blog, you know, along with pictures of them nursing. So they did note a positive experience. They noted that bonding was such a major factor in why they continued breastfeeding and also why they decided to breastfeed initially. I love breastfeeding because it is a beautiful experience. Nothing can break the bond of a mother and child who breastfeeds. So again, I took that quote and used it in the title. Bonding and intimacy. I love that he feels safe and secure when he is in my arms. So the next theme, the importance of social support. No one I knew had done it, and I got little support. So there were mixed experiences. You had some moms that came from a strong breastfeeding family, and therefore they had the support not only of the women in their family, but the men, because the men were used to seeing breastfeeding. But for those that didn't indicate a family history, they did say they had a struggle with kind of getting everyone to understand that I'm doing this because it's best. This isn't nasty. One mom was saying some of the words that they used to describe her breastfeeding as kind of being negative. And also health provider support postpartum was also mixed. So some moms said that nurse, she was amazing, and some people said that doctor, he was horrible, you know, so different experiences. So two quotes. I come from a breastfeeding family, and both my mother and my aunt, even my father, expected that I would breastfeed. So having that male support in the family was important for this mother. Looking back on the situation, if only I had the medical advice and support I needed, I would have nursed her well after 2 months. So this mother had a shorter breastfeeding duration and noted that if she had more support from her healthcare professionals, perhaps she would have been empowered to breastfeed further. So in conclusion, African-American women are breastfeeding. So despite the dismal rates that we often see in publications, there are moms that are breastfeeding, and we kind of need to encourage more research in this area. Anytime we look at breastfeeding disparities, whether it's for teenage mothers or mothers that are low income or racial minority groups, encourage research that looks at those that are successfully breastfeeding. So child health and development and bonding were the major factors, and social support was often lacking for some of these mothers, but it was important. So blogs are a feasible tool for breastfeeding promotional and social support. And there's actually a professor, if you're interested in learning more about blogs, Dr. Sui Ho from the University of Georgia is doing a talk at 4:30 regarding a review that she did on blogs being used in public health. And she found that there are some people using them in interventions as well as just for people to kind of get more information about a given health topic. So she saw vaccinations were also used for blogs, HIV stigma, smoking. So blogs aren't really being used from the public health standpoint of research for breastfeeding, but perhaps after today we'll have some people that are more interested in that. The findings from this talk can aid in the programming of promotion programs. If you're familiar with the HIT data set, you know that for social media, there's not really that digital divide as we used to think that there was between, you know, low income or racial ethnic minorities as far as using the internet. And so, you know, people are getting to the internet, they're using Facebook, they're using blogs. And so more research is needed to focus on African-American women in particular who are breastfeeding. And so I'm excited about that because I'm actually going forward with that for my dissertation. But that is what I have for you today. Thank you for your time. I have time for one question. Yes, ma'am.
So I love this positive, deviant approach you took to the community. And I, from what I understand of it, the next step is to have these women inform what an intervention would look like. Have you started to talk to them about the intervention?
For what I'm writing up from my perspectives is to find mothers that are WIC eligible. So from a positive deviant standpoint, I'm so glad you know about that approach. I'm using a positive deviant standpoint of looking at those from resource poor backgrounds and what they can teach us about their success stories to use in intervention planning. So I'm actually not going to do an intervention right now for my dissertation, but I'm actually trying to see what are mothers in Georgia saying versus what is the PRAMS data set saying, so a mixed methods dissertation, if you will, and then how can that inform future interventions in this population, because in the Athens areas, the WIC coordinators have noted that as far as social support groups, black moms aren't coming out, and so there needs to be more of a targeted social support group aspect that they're working on now, but also other targeted interventions. I hope that answers your question.